So I was looking at our text this morning, or for this morning. I was looking at them earlier than this morning, just so you know. It'd be pretty cheeky, wouldn't it? Just take a look in the morning and see what was there. I don't think I'm up to that. But as I was looking at these texts, the Old Testament story of Moses is very interesting, and I suspect we'll probably get there. But where I found myself going back to over and over again is one of my favorite topics, as you all know. Hopefully you're not tired of it. But his spiritual gifts. And Paul is talking about spiritual gifts here. This isn't the only place he talks about spiritual gifts. He also talks about them in Corinthians, a bit of it in Ephesians. Peter talks about it in one of his epistles. So it's not that this is just a Paul thing or just a Romans thing. It's all over the place. Given gifts by the Spirit is all over the Bible, as I'm sure you can think of several yourself. But as I was looking at this text, it takes us on a bit of a journey, if you will, or at least that's what I saw. And it begins with that we are urged to, in view of God's mercy, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, and then do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transformation is one of those things that happens, in a sense, almost automatically. Now, certainly don't want to dismiss the work that we need to do in there, because of course we have to. We have to accept this transformation, we have to be ready for it, and we have to embrace it for it to do any good. But we are transformed by having our minds renewed. So first the transformation comes, by our mind being renewed happens sort of slightly afterwards, if you will, one of those infinitesimally small durations. But that's the sequence that we've got, that when we move into this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we have access to a transformed, a new mind. And one of the things that new mind does for us as we continue on, Paul says, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Humility, that's about as good a invitation or exhortation to humility as I think there is. And let's remember that humility is not about thinking yourself useless. There's a meme going around that says, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, which is a helpful way, perhaps, to approach it. That humility means that you're aware of what you can do. People with true humility don't say, "I have nothing to offer." They say, "I have these things to offer." And when somebody says, "Well, what about these over here?" You just say, "Well, those aren't mine. I'm sure there's somebody else that will do it." And that takes us into the last part where we have spiritual gifts. And Paul uses the metaphor of the body. He uses it in lots of different places. And it's a really useful metaphor, because as anyone who's ever stubbed their toe, or if you have children or grandchildren, you stepped on Lego in the dark or something else, one of the most unpleasant experiences you can have, I think, as a parent or grandparent, you know that when one part of your body is unhappy, pretty much everything is at least a little bit, or at least you don't work the way that you should or the way that you ordinarily would. As I wait for knee surgery, I find myself limping a bit now and then. I use a stick, and there are some things I can't do. I don't take the dog for a walk, just in case the dog decides to wrap the leash around me and make me fall over. I'm not sure I want to break another rib or anything like that. There are things that don't work when any one part of you doesn't work. We need all the parts of our body, and so the metaphor of the body is then applied to the church. First of all, the universal church, but also the local community. This group, our community of faith, is the body of Christ. Or a part, but also a whole. It's a little tricky, but I think you know what it means. And in this body of Christ, we have different gifts, according to the grace given us, how Paul uses, and then goes through a list. This isn't an exhaustive list, because there are some things on other lists in the New Testament that aren't here. And some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit explicitly gives in the Old Testament aren't on this list either. We've got prophesying, and Paul says that if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encourage, encourage. If it's giving, give generously. If it's leadership, govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. And so we end up with all of these things that we see here that all work together. And the only way they work together is if we recognize our gifts and if other people let us do them. Because that's the tricky part. There are some gifts that we find hard to identify in ourselves. And the reason for this is quite sensible. And I've talked about this in a number of different contexts over the years, but to look at it again, one of the most obvious ones is people who have a gift of helping. These are the people who make things happen. They're the ones who make sure that the church is unlocked, they make sure if we're having a potluck, that the tables are set up, all of those things. And when you ask them about it and you say, I love the fact that you exercise your spiritual gift that way, often they will say things like, well, that's not really a spiritual gift. I just saw it and knew it needed to be done, so I did it. Well, the thing is, you're seeing it was the spiritual gift, because I don't have that spiritual gift, and there's a good chance I didn't see it. Not because I'm callous or indifferent to the needs for the church to be unlocked or for tables and chairs. It's just that's not how I function. I don't see those things. When Hadley and I are walking into a store, and Hadley sort of disappears, and I look around, almost always, it's because Hadley's talking to somebody who needs money or food, and is seeing what they can do to help. I didn't see the person. It's not that I don't care. It's that that's just not part of my giftedness. And, I mean, I work hard at it. It's not an excuse. And I'm better at it. But often, I just don't see the things that need to be done the same way people who have the gift of helping do. And so I need those people. There are people who, you know, I often get the, wow, I can't believe you preach every Sunday. Like, that's, I could never do that. And for a long time, I wasn't sensible in my response, which was sort of, oh, it's nothing, or, oh, you probably could. Well, as I became more functional in the spiritual gifts in action in church, I realized that, no, this is my gift. And the people who say I could never do that, maybe they couldn't, unless they absolutely had to. Holy Spirit empowers us individually once in a while to do extraordinary things, and for some of you, preaching might be a miracle. So it's possible, but it's unlikely. But this is my gift. And so when I'm looking around and when I'm experiencing life, the things I see and the people I interact with sort of go into this filing system in my head that isn't even conscious, that helps me understand Scripture and helps me hopefully open it up to you in ways maybe you haven't thought of before, or at least slightly differently. The image I use, and I've shared with you before, of an art critic is that an art critic or someone who really knows art will help you see things in a familiar picture or sculpture or piece of music that you never saw before, that you didn't experience before. And it's not because they're magic. It's because that's what they've specialized in. And maybe that's even what they have a spiritual gift in. And so I see all of these things in life that maybe would happen to you the same, and you would just maybe not even see them at all. And they come into my life and sometimes come out again in sermons as illustrations or as ways to help us understand something maybe a little bit better, because that's my gift. And we need all of the gifts. Human beings, sometimes we find it hard to equivalently value things that are of equal value, because one is up front and everybody knows about it and the other is less so. And often I get that sense from people that, oh, you're preaching, that's extraordinary, that's amazing, you know, I can never do that, what would we do without you, and all those other sorts of things. And I say, well, I'm not quite sure what we'd do without me, but I know if we didn't have the people without helps, we wouldn't do anything. Because we all work together, and we need to know people. We need to both know who these helping people are and encourage them, find the people with a gift of encouragement so they can encourage the people helping, so we can all work together, because that's when the church works best. Not when you're feeling guilted into doing something. That's a terrible situation. Not when you're doing something because you're pretty sure nobody else is going to, and if I don't do it, it won't get done. That's not a good way to live your life either. It's understandable. But when we're all working together, when we're all working out of our spiritual gifts, what we find is that the work that we do is easier for us than it would be for somebody else. Because our spiritual gifts grow in us. Because there are lots of things that sort of start. I knew I had the gift of preaching for a long time. I knew I had the gift of preaching for a long time before I was good at it. Because I had to learn. I had to practice. It took, and the gift took all of my life into account because I was a public speaking and debate competitor when I was in school, when I was in grade school. So what I learned there is put to use here. I didn't know then I would ever be a preacher. I would have laughed in your face if you would have said I was going to be a preacher someday. But all of those things work together, and we get better at them. Some of the gifts just appear. A gift of wisdom, for example, you don't grow in that. Usually the gift of wisdom is something you simply have. And I'm grateful we have people like that in this congregation who help us make the best decisions because they approach them from a position of wisdom rather than just cleverness or experience. All of these gifts, whatever your gift is, thank you for exercising it. Because I may not know what your gifts are, but I know you're using them. Because this congregation continues. Oh, we're small at the moment. Maybe we'll grow. But we're not lacking anything that allows us to function as a community of faith. The Holy Spirit has said, this is the body of Christ in this part of Moose Jaw. And we are. And so for each of us who are exercising the gifts that you have, thank you. The Holy Spirit has given something to you that I don't have and that maybe other people don't have. And we need your gifts and we need your willingness to use them on our behalf to keep us going. If I was the only reason this church was going, I'm not sure it would keep going very long. We need all of the gifts in the same way that your body needs all of its pieces. In the same way that your hands need all of your muscles and tendons and all of those things that work together. The body needs you. And I am grateful that you continue to generously give of the gifts you have so that we continue to be an authentic witness to God no matter what our numbers are in this part of Moose Jaw, because that's what we've been called to do. Amen.